Thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. You know the drill. Wendy, my partner, is off this entire week. Today's the last day. She'll be back on Monday, as I like to say, with gifts for everybody. So please listen in on Monday as Wendy returns in her stead. The Sklar brothers are here.
It takes two of us to make one Wendy. Let's be honest. Let's
really
be honest,
does.
Bill. It really does.
I didn't want to say it out loud.
No,
but you said it
without saying it. Can I tell you how happy we are to be here and hang out with you again? This is truly one of our favorite. We do press all over this damn country, yep. And the fact that like there are our shows that we love to come back to.
And this is one. Oh, that means the world to me. I'm a big fan of one of yours.
And Man Cow. Wow. Folks, kidding. That was a joke.
Well, that shows your range, though. That really does.
The high and the low.
No, that shows your range. All right. I was explaining to somebody that you were coming back. I said, we had Randy and Jason Sklar on a year ago, and he said,
who?
The wrestlers? He thought you guys were wrestlers.
We're a wrestling team.
We're the Von Erichs.
We're the Flying Jews.
The wrestlers that feel guilty for putting their
Why did we do that to you?
I mean,
and like after we do like a flying drop,
do we have to wear these?
Like a thank you note.
Oh yeah.
By the way, my daughter just had her bat mitzvah, and I was on her to write her thank you note. I can't believe these.
You're
words.
You're that guy now.
These words are coming out of my mouth. You gotta write your thank you notes.
Terrorist.
That shows that you've reached adulthood, doesn't
or
it?
Or that I'm close to death.
Isn't it? No, it doesn't mean that.
You're on the downside.
Crossed over into a sad thing. You're not rock and roll.
Here's a question that I didn't get to last time that I've been thinking about ever since. Are the two of you the only identical twins in history to be stand-up comics together?
No. There are identical twins right now that are doing it, the Lucas brothers. Great.
And they're very funny.
Great dudes, like in New York, and different style from us. But I mean, we've spoken to them at length, and you know, like the biggest compliment they did give us is that when they were coming up and they saw us doing it, they're like, "Oh, we can do that." You know, like
we inspired them.
You inspired them.
I think on some level, and they have a totally different style and different take.
But we have never. It wasn't present when we were kids. It wasn't like when we were kids, we're like, oh, we want to be like this person.
Right.
We were explaining recently that, you know, Seinfeld, we were huge Seinfeld fans.
Yeah.
Huge, before he even had the show.
Yeah.
This was so funny. We were like, and he had an HBO special and he was on, you know, Carson.
On
and
Benson.
He was on Benson.
I loved his work on Benson.
Great on Benson.
Who couldn't love his work? I believe he won an Obie Award
for that. Yes, he did.
But the idea that, like, we thought he was ours and we were like, oh, no one will ever know Seinfeld.
Yeah,
what a bummer. He's such a great thing and no one will ever know it, and then boom, he took off
everyone knows a little bit.
Did you guys know that there were triplets comedians? I saw them on America's Got Talent. Yeah, I saw
identical
them the other day.
Triplets?
The Verzi triplets. Look them
How
up.
How bad and unfunny were they?
They only showed a tiny bit of them, which means they're probably not going to make it very much further.
Verzi. But if you asked them, they'd be like, yeah, we want to be like the Sklar brothers, only more.
We have one extra. Why did you assume naturally that they must be horrible based on what?
Because in general.
Because we haven't even heard it yet. It's like, are you going to try
it? Great.
Maybe they're awesome.
I'm sure they're handsome.
Maybe they're awesome.
You know what? Handsome is never a good thing for comedy.
Yeah. If someone's like, if I asked you, how was her comedy? And you were like, she's
hot.
Really pretty.
She's beautiful.
You're like, no. You didn't say anything about
it's the
comedy.
Opposite of like, is she attractive? She's got a great personality. It's the reverse.
Yeah.
Like, you never want to hear, like, you know, that's the thing. It's like, if you're ever.
How
like,
is his comedy? He's got great shoes. That's never a good
thing. That doesn't sound good. And that's the thing. You want to be known as and that I think that's why we've been able to stay in this business for as long as we have and do the types of things we've had, because our goal is to be funny first, and then
be unique, have a unique perspective, have the fact that we're twins, use that in a way that is interesting and not a crutch.
Of course. Did in the early days of the Sklar brothers, did one of you decide I'm going to be a stand-up and have to convince the brother?
No.
Your brother? No.
We were very lucky, both of us. I have an old picture. I'm going to see if I can find it.
We both said we love comedy. Let's do it. And there wasn't even a question of like, okay, I'll go up and then you go up,
or I'll be the straight man and you be the funny.
We just
man.
Were both like,
we're like, let's neither of us be funny, and we did.
And we've made a career on both neither being the.
I have a photo that I'm showing right now. That's the first time we ever did comedy, and that is 33 years ago.
Wow,
we were 14.
That's impressive. So
almost
this was this a like a school talent show
yes,
or something?
Yes, yeah. High school talent show in front of 300 people, and it was the first. And we wrote some material ourselves, and then we borrowed other material, which we were just too stupid to know that you're not allowed to do that.
From Mom's Mably.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a strange
that
borrow.
That would be great. We did weird tons one. Of just old sharecropping jokes. And it was like, wait, you guys didn't grow up poor in the South. Stealing just lines from the jerk. No, but I mean, we hadn't developed our voice yet. It takes years.
Yeah, sure.
Anybody who comes up to us is like, I want to do what you're doing. I'm always like, mm-hmm. Do you have 8 years? Because that'll be what it takes to figure out if you can do it.
Yeah.
Then the next is, do you
10, 12 years
do you
is
really
you trying
want to do yeah. the slog? And then it's like, if you're at that point and you've made it through and people know who you are, then right. you can sort of figure out how do you want to, right. where do you want to take it from there.
So true. I'm the father of twin daughters, and people always used to ask when they were little, do you finish each other's sentences? You yeah. guys do, though.
Well, it's funny. Or you could say that I've never gotten to finish a sentence in 47
that's
years.
On the story.
Worst. I just made Tony, the owner of the club, laugh, and he doesn't know how to laugh.
He's been driving
we just taught him how to laugh.
Been driving
I didn't know he had
all,
teeth.
He's been driving
I literally
morning.
Didn't know he had teeth. Yeah. This is the grimmest man ever. Like, he hangs out with you in the car, and you're like, are we funny anymore?
Is this...
He's driving us around the town. I'm like, you got to give us some confidence. Jesus.
Zero confidence.
But if you make him laugh, then you're going to ask for more money. He knows that. He's
he
wise
knows.
To this
he's
this
a, he's
trick
a fantastic negotiator.
Mm-hmm. The Sklar brothers are here. They're going to be at the Improv all this weekend. Go see them at chicago.improv.com. All the information's there. We'll pick this conversation up in just a little bit. Still left with you. You already know Wendy's not here, so stop looking around. She's not going to show up. She'll be here on Monday. Randy and Jason Sklar are here mm-hmm. to fill that gap.
We're
fill
here.
That
just trying.
We're doing
so
the best
nice.
We can. I don't know if we can even fill it.
Would
She's
you,
so great.
If you were not performing at the Improv this weekend, would you have flown in just for this?
To fill in for me? Wendy? Yeah,
yeah we
probably would
have.
Oh. Nice. Look, that's all you have to do is
that's
ask
so
us.
Nice. That's
we'll
so
make
nice.
It here.
I have to ask you a question. I
yes.
saw you guys on a couple of episodes of Better Call Saul.
Yeah, so fun.
I thought it was excellent.
Thank
Tell me
you.
About what went on behind the scenes.
So, I mean, no, it was amazing because we went in and we saw a bunch of our friends who great, funny people and who were auditioning for it. And I think this is one of those rare moments where we had sort of a great advantage in that it was two people that they were, you know, auditioning for the two parts.
It wasn't for brothers. It wasn't for twins. They just wanted, you know, two people who had a long-standing relationship as the co-owners of this music store.
Yeah.
No spoiler alerts here.
Yeah.
And we came in and we said, you know, everyone's going to be reading with the casting person, and they're going to be reading as one person.
So the casting person has to read Odenkirk's character and
the other
store
person.
Owner. So it's going to be choppy. There's no way to get a flow going.
Right.
We're
going
to come in as these two guys and basically show you our half of the scene.
Yeah.
So if you like what we're doing, then we're giving ourselves a tremendous advantage. And that's what we thought. And the other thing about it that was crazy is, you know, we got the role and we were very excited. And then I got super nervous because I love the show.
Yeah.
Like, I love the show, like, an enormous fan of the show. And I got nervous, number one, that, like, we wouldn't be as good as the people on the
oh
show because it's
the
such good
so
acting
good.
On the show. And then the other thing is that I would take me out of just being a fan of the show.
Yeah, right.
To see myself in this universe that is just purely escape.
It's going to ruin something that you just love and love to unwrap so slowly and beautifully.
Oh, right. But then I saw how they put it together, and I saw, obviously, like, you know, this is the sign of a well-written show, when you can learn a long scene really quickly. Why? Because all the twists and turns
those,
in it makes
those
sense.
Those scenes are like 6 or 7 pages long
yeah.
that we had, and you know, you're like, well, how is this going? And the other way is how they shot it, which was beautiful. So Tom Schnoz, who's one of the writers and directed mm-hmm. one of the episodes, he was so, the way they shoot it is so brilliant. They're like, just go. And we know Bob Odenkirk from stand up
yeah.
in the 90s in
LA,
the Largo scene there, and sort of the alternative comedy scene. We've just known him for years. And so he's someone we really like a lot. So it was great to hang out with him in a music store
sure.
and just noodle around on guitars while
yeah.
we're between takes and whatnot. But we get and we start to rehearse the scene. And they're just like, go. And we're just talking the way we're talking right now. And
yeah.
you kind of forget that there's even a camera there because they're shooting like way up in the corner, or they're kind of trolling. Because
like Breaking Bad, they
yeah.
like to have that weird angle where you don't even know where the camera is.
Yeah.
And so now you're just talking, because that is a thing, you know, that you have to get used to when you've it's different than stage acting. When you're on a set, there is a lot of work that has to be done with you shutting out
all of the crew and this camera that's like 4 inches from your face.
Right.
When you're having an intimate moment with someone, you have to, it's a whole other skill set to be able to shut that out. But what they do in a beautiful way, which is why I think they get some great performances, is that they just hide the camera somewhere where you don't even know where it is, and you're just doing the scene, and now you're just having a moment
with
someone.
It feels like you're rehearsing in a real way. So it just feels like a real conversation. So those were great moments. Other than the fact that I was dealing with, and it was only like 5,200 feet above sea level, but I was like going through severe altitude. I had to get a B12 shot. I had to take oxygen. I was like Hakeem Olajuwon in the 1984 NCAA championship. I was literally like down for the count. They're like, are you all right? They're taking my blood pressure. I was like, I'll be fine. I don't want to create any issues. I just want to go in there and have a good time.
Yeah, right.
And it turned out great.
The finished product was great.
Proud of it.
Bob Odenkirk started doing stand-up here. He's from Downers Grove. He's from one of the suburbs here. And I have to tell you, in the early days, he didn't always do well with the audience. They didn't know quite what to make of him. And I used to say to him all the time, oh, please don't change a thing,
because
he'll figure you out.
I love that you worked with him. He just was one of those guys who just so
committed to unique characters.
Can
think about all the characters that they created on Mr. Show for him.
Right.
It doesn't surprise me one bit that he is able to create Saul Goodman, or you know, this character who has so many twists and turns to him and so much depth. I mean, you go back and look at all the stuff he did, even on the Second City stage here in Chicago, and you're like, that
I was watching old, because we watched the Apatow documentary, you're watching old Larry Sanders with him as the
Stevie
his agent.
Yeah.
You're just like, this is a well-drawn character.
Yeah.
He's just unbelievable. Yeah.
And
so
now he's doing more drama now. He's doing little bits and pieces
where
it's dramatic.
Because
he can do it. Yeah, he's really
like Carell. I really feel like Steve Carell, another Chicago guy who, you know, you watch him in Foxcatcher and you're just like, what?
Whoa. Yes.
He's unreal.
Yeah, he's so good.
Unreal. And then, you know, my daughter, my 13-year-old, is like binge watching The Office. So I'll come home and she's just watching like 4 episodes and I want to yell at her to do her homework, but then I'm like, it is The Office.
Get good taste.
I'm like, I can't yell at you. I can't yell at you. You're doing it right. Good girl. Go
How long
brain.
Will you guys do what you're doing? Will you do stand-up forever? When will you? I remember George Burns was booked to work on his 100th birthday. He wasn't able to do it. Will you guys be doing
if
stand-up?
If Tony does not laugh at one of our jokes, we're going to quit this afternoon.
This is the That's end. Awesome.
He's trying to run us out of the business with his stone face. I think we'll do it as long as people will want to have us do it. It is something.
And long as we feel like we have more to learn. So we shot our last special in Chicago at Lincoln Hall in 2016. And it's on Stars now. If you have the Stars app, or you can get it on demand on Stars, it's called Hipster Ghosts. And it was the culmination of a couple of years of work. And we chose Chicago very strategically because we love the people here.
Yeah.
People are wasted. No, we love the people here. This is how wasted everybody in Chicago. The fact that you have a bar across from Wrigley Field called Sluggers.
Right.
Where there's a batting cage upstairs.
Right.
Great idea. They're just here. Get hammered downstairs and then have 60-mile-an-hour projectiles thrown at you. You got like crowds of people going, lean into pitch. We need base runners.
Base runners is
a
batting
walks
cage.
Walks as good as a hit.
Walks is not as good as a hit.
She got it.
It's not.
You don't need a helmet, Carol. Anyway, so like there is just the. So to me, there is an innocence and a level of wanting to have fun here in Chicago that people have. It's almost like there's sophistication without pretension. That is a fine line to walk. It is like you sometimes you go into shows in LA and everyone's arms are folded. Like, prove it to me.
Yeah.
Whereas Chicago is like, we're here, we're out. I love these guys. You can drop in a smart reference and they get it.
Oh,
and at the same time, if you get goofy and you start going for it, they go with you with that too.
Very versatile,
which I love. So we did that. We have a lot of friends here in Chicago. I got our good friends. I love coming to town and getting our friends. Our friend Brian Lewis is a friend from Michigan.
Yeah.
He's listening to the show right now. Like, he's someone who like has been a friend of ours, and then we're so excited to perform for him and then spend time with him and his family during the day.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Friends like that.
It makes coming here.
That's perfect.
Great. Makes it great.
One last question.
Sure.
You guys seem to get along so well. When you do have a fight or a disagreement,
we don't talk off stage.
We
do not speak to each other.
Do not look at me in my eyeballs. It's so funny that you say that, because next Tuesday we are going to be shooting Jeff Ross, our buddy, and we are connected to the roast battle. We've been connected to it for a long time. This great show on Comedy Central where comedians roast each other.
Yes,
and it's like 8 Mile if it was two comedians like battling roast battling essentially each other, and people call each other out, and we've judged it.
We celebrity judge it in the belly room of the Comedy Store, usually once a month, and we love doing it so much. It's our favorite thing. And Jeff was like, I want you guys to battle each other.
Wow.
And so many people have said that, and we're like, we don't do that. Like, that's not our style. And we really bristled at it. And then we sat back and we said, well, what is comedy? Let's go back to the beginning. You think about your beginnings in comedy.
Yeah.
When someone's like, hey, Bill, do you got 20 minutes? And you have 14. You're like, yeah, I got 20.
Absolutely.
You got 20. You say, I got it. I got it out later.
When you step on stage to do improv, which is what this city and you know, when you think of comedy is built on, you go on stage with nothing. And you're like, we'll make it. We'll create it.
Right.
So the basic tenet of our entire career has been say yes and figure it out later. And so we thought about that and we're like, why? You have to take risks. Your whole life is built around like avoiding risk in every single area of your life and trying to make it something you can manage.
Stand-up comedians and comedy in general, you're out on the edge. So we're like, why not?
Why wouldn't we try this?
Do it.
Give ourselves this chance. So we, you know, you talk about like fighting with each other. We are like writing
roast
jokes about each other.
When can that be seen?
I think that's on. It starts airing on Comedy Central on July 31st.
Oh, that's soon.
Shoot it on the 24th and it'll air like in
almost immediately.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
So great to see you guys.
Oh, man.
I'm such a huge fan.
Likewise.
Keep up the great work. It's the Sklar Brothers. It's Randy and Jason. They're at the Improv all this weekend. Just visit chicago.improv.com. All the information is there. Did Tony laugh at all while you
did? A couple
he
times.
Did a couple
he
times.
He smiled at me. That all was right. Just gas. He's like a baby.
Thank you, guys. A little break and then some news. And then Anna Balaval joins us. It's Bill Left with you on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Left with you. Wendy's still on vacation. She's in Disneyland. She will return on Monday. But we've been spinning the wheel of co-hosts all this week, and the wheel has landed on Anna Balaval from the WGN-TV Morning News.
Balaval.
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 I don't think
Balaval.
You're saying it right.
No, okay.
I'm pretty sure you're
great.
Saying it incorrectly.
All right. I'll call my
I took
dad
2 years of Spanish in high school, Anna. I think you're saying it
and
incorrectly.
The E was pronounced ah. Okay. All right.
Why do you guys have extra letters in your alphabet? Isn't 26 enough? I think it's
plenty. Why do you guys have zebra and zebra or president and precedent?
Wait,
and they're two different.
What's zebra?
The way I say it, and apparently it's not. But like when I took accent reduction classes,
right.
Which I did with a lady from Long Island.
Yeah.
I was told it was president and precedent.
Well, those are two different things, though.
Ah.
Those are completely different things.
I was told the S was pronounced S. Never.
It can be pronounced either way, but we had the 26 letters going for us. You guys have like 28.
No.
In
we
Hawaii.
Have Enye, double L,
yeah.
Double R, and Che.
That's a lot of letters.
Four extra letters.
Look at the Hawaiians. They've got six letters in their alphabet, and that's too much. They're trying to bring
they
it down
English
to three
in
or four. Yeah, but I know, but there's a Hawaiian
a state.
Alphabet.
I understand that maybe Puerto Rico's an enigma to you, but Hawaii. Is a state.
No, I know that. I fully recognize Hawaii as a state. It's where they do Hawaii 5-0.
Moana.
Yeah. That's where they do that.
Mm. The plane, boss. The plane.
Oh, very good. I did not expect a Hervé Valachez impression from you this morning. That was a nice bonus on it. Thank you for bringing that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
How did things go today on the WGN-TV Morning News?
You know what? I'm glad you ask.
Was there trouble?
No.
What happened?
So I love being surprised by my job over and over.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 13 years. My anniversary was July 17th.
Happy anniversary.
Is that what? Tinfoil?
Happy anniversary.
Anniversary. And I didn't know what to expect. I love doing storefront theaters for around town because you really don't know what to expect. And this is from the Manual Cinema. And they have a show at the Chopin Theater, and anything at the Chopin Theater is going to be out there and different.
Yeah, very avant-garde theater
very avant-garde.
Company. Yeah.
So these guys are the Manual Theater, and they have the show called The End of TV, which when you see the video, you're like, oh, this is all about 1990s television.
Yeah.
Well, I get there, and they use on stage, you see a GoPro with a blue screen. You have overhead projectors, remember those?
Yeah.
For puppetry.
Oh.
And then a live band with an original score.
Uh-huh.
The story is about this woman who has dementia and starts a friendship with her Meals on Wheels delivery woman who has just been fired from Ford Motor Company or whatever. It's in Detroit, right? And so it's this woman with her dementia, what she does is shop constantly on QVC.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's the friendship between them, and then commercials from that time and QVC stuff, and then these puppets that are not really the puppets you and I think about. They're flat, right? They're plastic, you know, the kind of film we used for overhead projectors.
Right.
They have puppets on that, and they move them, and you think, oh, this is going to be, you know, overwhelming. At one point, you're like, okay, I'm watching him doing that on the GoPro. That's cool. But then it's up on the screen, and it all blends together, and it tells this deep, beautiful story this workiness.
And again, the title of it is The End of TV.
The End of TV by the Manual Theater. And
has this been performed in other places, or is this a premiere?
It's a premiere, and the interesting thing is that these guys are home-based here, but they rarely perform here in the summer. They tour Europe.
Oh, that's why. Oh, yeah, that's a good reason.
They're a very young company, and they're considered more than avant-garde, innovative, right? Yeah. And so I was like, how is this going to be on TV? Because some of these things, including improv, they are very hard to make funny make them work on television.
Sure.
I mean, I love Second City and I love I.O., but they need time to breathe, and TV doesn't have time for that.
Right. Wow.
We're like a one-trick pony. Here we go. Give me your punchline. And I was like, how am I going to explain this? It was fantastic.
It's
the kind of thing that I'd like to show Chicago, because it's great if you go see Kinky Boots or see SpongeBob or whatever. But this theater is what we're known for, and why actors want to grow up here.
Yeah. I like that they're taking chances like that, because if you're going to go to the theater, you want to see something you can't see on television or in a theater for movies. So good for them. Boy, I'm glad that worked out.
Yeah.
That was really nice. 13 years. Isn't that hard to believe?
I can't believe it. It's still, and the fact that I'm still surprised is just awesome, and the fact that I still love it. This week, three times, I swear, I was like, what are we going to do here? And they ended up being great segments.
But don't you think you and I are very...
Because I've done it all, so I'm like, how are we going to make this
different? You have done it all. When somebody says your name to me, I go, here's what I'll tell you about Anna Balaval.
Balaval.
I don't think that's right. I say to myself, here's a woman who's done it all. She's seen it all. She's tried it all. She's thrown it on the wall. Some of it has stuck. Some of it has fallen. That's how I describe you.
But only on TV, because otherwise I'm...
Not in real life.
No,
but on TV.
On TV. Yes.
But don't you think you and I are very fortunate, because we have jobs where luckily every day is a different day. There's new challenges every day. There's new surprises around every corner. That's the best thing in the world.
And it runs the gamut. We just went to a bakery called Delish Cakes in Bloomingdale, or as my father would say, Bloomingdale. He likes to go shopping at Bloomingdale's. Bloomingdale, Illinois. Mm-hmm. The way we found out about these cakes, her clientele sent us...
Somebody who shops there said to you guys,
someone
you got to feature
them. Someone
who bought
a cake from her is like, she's outstanding. You got to check her out. Her name is Alicia. And we get there, and she's a young lady who went to Kendall College.
Yeah.
She had been baking cookies in her grandma's kitchen.
Yeah.
We got there, and she was quite serious. And I said, oh, my God, Alicia, this is going to be hard. I don't think she's even interested that we're here. She gave me sprinkle tights.
Wait, what are sprinkle tights?
Leggings with sprinkles on them. Gave me a t-shirt, and everything started working. Her clients started showing up to show me more pretty cakes. She was extremely creative. Her food was delicious. She had like a Polish grandma there that makes every 2 weeks. Twice a week. She comes in. She makes kolachkis. She makes anything.
Oh, that sounds so good.
And it's that's the kind of Chicago's very own
story.
Yeah,
right. You want
then,
that.
Then I went to the Glen Ellen... Village Links, and I'm like, golf.
This is going to be horrible.
If I don't like baseball, I hate golf, right? I'm like, ugh.
Right.
And I was really negative about it. It was a blast, because they also had foot golf, which is like soccer with golf. They let me drive the golf cart through the sand trap.
That's a good time.
People were dying.
That's a fun
How
time.
Stupid is she? It was all...
Can you just for a second go back to the sprinkle tights? Are these tights that have actual sprinkles on them?
Not
or
the
pictures?
Real ones.
It's pictures of sprinkles.
Not the real ones. Pictures of sprinkles.
I didn't know such a thing existed.
If you followed me on the interweb.
Which, by the way, is a fad. You know that.
It's going to die out any second.
Anna is here. She has no last name because it's too hard for us to pronounce here on planet Earth. But she's here. Anna's here. Let me see a picture.
Sprinkles. See, they're shocking.
Oh, those are very
pink.
Nice. Yeah.
And you think they're gummy bears, but they're not.
No, not gummies.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like something.
Jelly
like,
beans.
If you were a denizen of Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, that's probably the uniform you'd wear.
Which I was that day. But look at these beautiful cakes.
Let me see.
Happening.
Hold
in
that up to the microphone.
Look
so everybody
at that.
Can
Do you see them, guys? Aren't they beautiful? You can go to my Instagram.
Oh, that's so
Anna.Belaval. Spell. Traditional spelling.
Just spelled the way it always has been.
Oh, God, always.
Capital B or small b?
Small b.
Small b.
Lowercase.
Yeah.
B-E-L-A, B as in victory, A, L as in love.
Yeah. Oh.
Anna with one N. You'll find it all there.
It's all there. It's all there for the liking.
It.
Yep. Oh, it's those are beautiful photos. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more of this sort of behavior next. It's Bill and Anna on WGN. Anna, are you in a generous mood? Shall we give something away? Let's just be generous, shall we?
You can't do that on TV.
No, you can't just decide in a moment's notice to give something away on TV.
You get a pillow. You get a pillow.
FCC would close you guys down.
Shut us down.
Yeah, they
the
would
popo shut us down.
The popo shut us down. Absolutely right. Yep. All right, let's give away this. A pack of four lawn tickets to Ravinia on August the 2nd to see the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra performing the score live as the film is shown. And Dean Richards will lead a discussion before the concert. Pack a picnic or dine in Ravinia's newly renovated dining facility. Get tickets at Ravinia.org if you don't win them. Here's what we will do, Anna. I will ask a trivia question. Now, if you know the answer
I have
a trivia question.
I can't participate because I'm part of the WGN family, right?
It would look bad if I said the question and then you were the winner. It would, people would say, that's payola.
They'll frown
that's,
upon it.
Yeah. So everyone but you can play.
Okay.
Here's what you want to do if you know the answer. You dial us up at 312-981-7200. Be the first person with this correct answer. This is Indiana Jones trivia. Here goes.
Do it.
What hunky television star was originally considered for the role of Indiana Jones before it ultimately went to Harrison Ford?
Anthony Quinn.
It is not Anthony. That's a great, that is a fantastic guess, but it is not Anthony Quinn, who at the time would have been kind of old to play the role, but still great actor.
He's versatile.
He's versatile. Very versatile.
See, that's the key with Anthony Quinn. He's very versatile.
Also Mexican, by the way.
Is he? Anthony Quinn is...
Steve Bertrand. Yes, he had a different name.
Yeah.
We'll Google it because I don't remember.
You don't remember what it was? But
no,
he played...
But you know that if it's Latino, I have to know it.
You would know.
They'll take my card away if I don't know.
I have the perfect guess, but I'm afraid to say it because I can't... I just got his real name.
Well, now, hold on, Steve, because
my real name is not Annabella.
No.
That's your real name.
I couldn't think of the guy I'm thinking of, the TV character, but I know his real name.
Mark from Carol Stream is our winner. So now that we know that, I will now divulge the answer. But, Steve, if you know it, please, by all means, give a guess.
I don't know it, but my guess was going to be Lee Majors.
It is not Lee Majors.
Lee Majors?
No. TV's $6 million man.
Oh, okay.
Steve Austin. No. Again, the question was, what hunky TV star was originally considered for the role of Indiana Jones before it ultimately went to Harrison Ford? Correct answer, Steve. Are you ready? Are you sitting down?
Mm-hmm.
Tom Selleck. Magnum P.I.
Wow.
Yep. I keep seeing commercials.
I was expecting... Look, Steve and I had the same reaction.
I was like, what?
I was expecting a little more zest from you guys, just a tad more zest. There was very little to be found there.
He's versatile? Physically versatile. Well, no, actually.
He's capable.
I've heard he has a new series that he's very good on.
Yeah, it's Blue Bloods.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, he plays on Blue Bloods.
Anthony Quinn's real name was Antonio Rodolfo Oaxaca Quinn.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, the ironic thing there is, after he played Zorba the Greek,
Everyone thought he was Greek.
Assumed he's got to be Greek.
Pero no, he was born in Chihuahua, Mexico.
Chihuahua, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you an inside story about Anthony Quinn?
Another one?
Yeah.
Can we stop
I got an
you?
Inside.
But what about Mark, who won? Do we talk to him or we ignore him?
He won't talk to us.
Okay. Wow.
I was going to put him on the air. He said no.
All right.
He doesn't want to come on. Mm. He wants the tickets and he wants to be ducking.
He wants to hear this story that you have.
My wife was in a movie with Anthony Quinn, and she said that when the cameras weren't rolling, he sat in a chair and wouldn't talk to anybody, just sat there. And then when they'd say action, he came alive.
Oh, wow.
He only wanted to be active when it counted.
How old was he, though?
Oh, I don't know his exact age, but I'm going to say old.
Yeah.
So maybe he was being as peppy as possible.
Right.
Yeah. And Peppy was his middle name, we learned.
Now we know that.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I
thought it was Gus before.
It would be Toño.
Antonio.
Antonio, Toñito. It wouldn't be Pepe.
Why in the Spanish culture?
Poor Steve. We're going to be so late for this.
Are there so many names? Like you just said,
Anthony
Quinn.
Why are you complaining so much about the Spanish language?
Here's why.
If it's not that we have too many letters, I'm going to wear my Puerto Rican t-shirt.
I want you to wear it. I asked you to wear it. You wouldn't wear it. My middle name, and I'm embarrassed to say it because it's
Ira.
It's Wayne, which is
William Wayne.
William Wayne.
And you're not a murderer?
That's the thing, is I have the name of somebody who'd go on a spree, don't I? Like, if I ever did just go nuts, people go, well, his name's
Jeffrey
William
Dahmer
Wayne.
I think Jeffrey Dahmer was Jeffrey Wayne Dahmer.
All mass murder, John Wayne Gacy.
Right.
Wayne is like the given name if you got some trouble, but that's my name. But you just, like, in the Spanish culture, they have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 middle names. How come? What's going on there?
Your point being?
I'm just curious.
I think it's a cultural thing that you honor your ancestors, and also because we were such a Catholic culture.
Yes.
You give them the saint name so that they could be baptized, yes, and that kind of thing.
Yes. That's why Steve's middle name is Saint Bernard, which is that's awkward. That's
Esteban
weird.
Esteban Bernardo Bertrand.
Saint Bernardo.
Can never fry to check. It's too many words.
I know. I know. You should see roll call, like attendance at school. Belaval Diaz, Ana Maria, every time. We know everyone's middle name growing up and everyone's two last names.
Before you know it, it's second period.
Exactly.
I believe middle names should be abolished.
I have friends who didn't
no
get
more
to
middle
their kids.
Names.
They were done with that, yeah.
Because the only time most parents use it is if you're mad at your child. That's really the only time. Wait, is your middle name Maria? It's Ana Maria?
Mm-hmm.
That's very nice.
Super common.
Yeah. I like it.
Well, I'm glad because you take exception to my last name.
I can't say it. It's too hard for me. My tongue is not trained enough to say your last name.
I'm going to write it out for you and like make you read it to see if... Bertrand, you say it.
Belaval.
Mira que lindo.
That
Mira
was lindo. Beautiful.
Que lindo.
That was so beautiful.
That means how pretty.
Yeah, lindo means pretty.
Thank you for certifying that I know my language.
My grandfather's first name.
Aren't we supposed to go to the news? I'm so confused.
Thank you. See, Anna comes in. She's the responsible one. What is it with you people?
A professional.
I don't know what it is.
Is it sponsored?
No.
Oh, then we have to stretch.
We have to go to...
It is sponsored.
Oh, it is sponsored?
Jasmine, am I the only one here doing some work?
No, you're doing fine.
No, you're not.
Oh, you are too. No, what I meant is on this side of the...
In this side, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In this side, yes. Can I tell you one more interesting thing that you won't find even remotely interesting?
Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
My mom's father, his first name is John. Guess his middle name.
Wayne.
No, it's John. Her mother's name is Mary. Guess her middle name.
John.
Yep, it's also John. No, it's Mary. In both their cases, the parents...
No, that's
named,
not true.
I swear to you,
Mary,
it's true.
Mary?
John, and Mary, Mary.
No.
And as much as you like a name, why would you name your kid that twice? And it happened on both sides of the family.
There's a Mexican singer. His stage name is Jose Jose.
Jose Jose.
He's so good, we named him twice.
The singer's so nice, we named him twice. But if we are, where did you go, by the way? You're under the console. Come back up here. Where are you?
Under my console, not yours.
Well, no, under your console. Why are you down there?
The cable for the earphones is stuck under the wheel.
Oh, great. You know what that means? We've lost our security deposit. I hope you're happy. Just having you into co-host now just cost us $13 million.
Well, do you know how much the parking is going to be?
About the same.
At the Radisson?
About the same.
Again, what time is... Oh, we're not there yet.
We have to do news now.
Did you hear that?
Well, because now it's news time.
Anna, shape up.
It wasn't news time earlier. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet.
Who's that?
You have to tune in to find out.
I still have to ask Steve. Who is...
Can
is
I tell
it
you?
Me?
Do you want me to tell you who it is? I'll ruin it for you. I'll tell you.
No, don't. Tom Selleck.
It's Anthony Quinn, the most valuable person on the planet.
Antonio
Weekday
mornings. Chihuahua.
On 720,
or Gus.
Gus Quinn at 720 WGN Chicago. Hey, smart speaker users, just play WGN Radio, and your tune-in will go, why? It's news time right now. It's all sponsored by Permaseal Basement Systems, here with the new Steve Bertrand. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff. It's Anna Belaval. Belaval, who are you? How'd you get in here?
Anna Belaval.
See, I can't do that. On my best day, I can't do that. Can you one more time?
Ana.
Belaval. La, 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 la.
Be.
That's better. Alexander Zelbin joins us right now. He's the managing... I can say that. Managing editor of Decider.com. A great website if you like entertainment, if you like television, if show business, it's all there. Alexander, there's a whole bunch of TV news, and the only reason I can think of that they've released this all at one time is because of the San Diego Comic-Con. Is there any way that those two are tied in?
Yeah, I think you've drawn a pretty clear connection between them. San Diego Comic-Con is happening right now. It unofficially kicked off Wednesday night and full-fledged Thursday, and it's only going to get crazier over the weekend. A lot of people still think about it as just a comic book convention, but it's far from that. There's huge movies are going to be there. It's become a TV festival over the past couple of years, in particular. So everybody's dropping trailers. Everybody's dropping news. We've certainly felt it here at the Decider newsroom, and things are kind of amped up to 11 at this point. But it's all fun stuff.
And then what they do over there is they'll bring the cast, like the entire cast of any given show, and they do this with dozens and dozens of shows. And then they'll do Q&A with the people in the audience, and they're very candid about their shows, about if a major character is leaving or if the mm-hmm. plot is changing. They're all very honest, it seems, right?
There are a lot of studios save their biggest announcements for Comic-Con because they know all eyes of the press and all eyes of the fans are going to be on it, so they wait to drop that big information there. Sometimes it times out correctly, like The Walking Dead panel is always a big deal because the show is coming back in October, so they use the opportunity to drop the first footage from the upcoming season. And then sometimes it's just a chance to, you know, tease upcoming villains on a superhero show, show off a new show with big stars that nobody knows about. It's a circus.
Are you there or going there this weekend?
Not this year, unfortunately. We are covering it from afar on Decider, but I've been there a bunch of years in the past, and it's exhausting and exhilarating at the same time. It's kind of wonderful. It's like going to Times Square on New Year's Eve. Yeah. You have to do it at least once.
That sort of excitement. All right, so since you mentioned Walking Dead, let's start out with this. Yeah. There have been rumors for the last couple of months that the star of the show from day one, Andrew Lincoln, is leaving. Mm-hmm. What do we know?
Well, we know he's leaving now. I don't know if this was a gaffe or not, but the creator of The Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman, went on IMDb. They have a boat where they're doing interviews near San Diego Comic-Con, and he pretty much said that Andrew Lincoln is leaving the show. Now, AMC hasn't officially confirmed it. We expect that they will talk about it or officially reveal it later today when they have their panel. But yeah, Andrew Lincoln is leaving the show. There's a lot of rumors swirling about how he'll leave, whether his character will die or not. The other part of the rumor, which again hasn't been confirmed by AMC but seems pretty likely, is that John Bernthal, who played Shane, his best friend on the show, who died during the second season, will be coming back most likely for his final episode. Presumably it'll be in some sort of flashback or dream sequence or something like that, but it's going to be a TV event. I mean, this is still the biggest show on basic cable, and the star leaving the show is a huge deal.
I hate to see him go. From day one, I think that show worked so well because of the way he played that role. Rick Grimes, I can't imagine
anyone
else.
Isn't everyone there dead? So they could just kill him and bring him back. I mean, like...
Yeah, he could still walk around.
He could still walk around.
Right, that's true.
Yeah. My suspicion, and this is pure suspicion, this is not based on anything, but my suspicion is they're going to leave it a little open-ended, let him walk off into the sunset.
Right.
Because the show is going to be going on, and I think they want to leave the opportunity for him to come back for whatever the final episode would be. But we'll have to wait and see.
Maybe. All right, so now there's some controversy over the new Teen Titans, which is now just called Titans. Evidently, somebody says something that they're not supposed to say. Please elaborate.
Well, I don't know how much I can elaborate on the air necessarily. The good news is this is the launch of DC Comics is doing a new streaming service called DC Universe that has original shows. It also has the old movies, like the old Superman movies, but even going back to things like the original Ruben Fleischer Superman cartoons. So it's going to be very cool for fans. But the first trailer came out for Titans, which is a more adult, very much more adult take on the Teen Titans character. And I guess the way that I could say it is, at a certain point in the trailer, Robin says, "Fudge Batman," but with a little less censoring.
Wow.
And fans are kind of freaking out about it a little bit.
Batman and Robin are supposed to be friends. You don't talk that way about a friend.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, here's the thing. We don't know a lot about the show. My suspicion is that it takes place sometime in the future when Batman has left Gotham City. We're focusing on these characters a little bit as adults, and DC has talked about this is based on one of the most storied runs of Teen Titans, Marv Wolfman and George Perez's run, which delved into some very adult issues. There was sex, there was violence, there was death. So we'll have to see how it pans out on TV, but certainly people are going to be paying attention after that particular phrase.
See, I have a 5 and a 10-year-old, and they're watching Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
And there's also, I can't let them watch what Alexander's talking about.
It's a little racy.
I didn't even know that this is my exposure to that, Teen Titans Go. And there's also a movie coming out an animated movie mm-hmm. coming out, right, Alexander? Or am I totally confused? Yeah. They're playing with us in at Cartoon Network.
This is the tricky thing that people have been pointing out is, yes, it's based on the comics. Yes, there is potentially a need for, you know, more adult superhero fare. But at the same time, fans know Teen Titans from the original animated series, which was aimed towards, I'd say, 8 to 12-year-olds. And then there's Teen Titans Go, which is a huge success. And as you said, has a movie coming out. And that is that's aimed towards little kids right. and a little bit older. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Don't show them this. Definitely. No,
thank you. Duly noted.
Please don't show them. Why do you think? Yeah. And I know that you and I have talked separately about this. That we both are fans of the comic books. But why right now? What's going on right now? Where the top movies shown in theaters are about comic book heroes? That there's so many TV shows about comic book heroes. What's going on? What's behind that? Do you think?
I think it's just an IP, not to get too businessy, but it's an area that wasn't mine for a while and suddenly exploded. People didn't do it right. Something we talk about a little bit around the office is the idea that for years, people were looking back towards, you know, movie serials, or they were looking back towards radio shows. That's where their nostalgia was. You finally got producers who understand superheroes, grew up reading comic books, and they want to make them into movies and TV shows. If you look at folks like Greg Berlanti, for example, I was talking to one of our great editors here, Megan O'Keefe, about it, and she very rarely brought up that people like Kevin Feige, who are ushering the Marvel movie universe, and Greg Berlanti, who deals with a lot of the CW, DC comics-based shows, they start as TV and film people first and comic book fans second. So they know how to make a really good movie. They know how to make a really good TV show. And then they weave in the superhero, the comic book of it all. That's how they make it work. And because these work, people just want more of them.
I'm just surprised there's such a glut. I was sure a couple of years ago, I'd go, well, it's going to, at some point, it'll tail off, but it hasn't. It's
grown.
But that's
what you said about the internet, too.
Yeah, I did.
So.
I did say the exact same thing. Thank you. Alexander Zalbin is our guest from Decider.com. So stay tuned. We've got more to tell you that's coming up in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Anna on WGN.
They're real, too.
Are they real?
I don't know why they don't do my kind of, like, they're so real, like they do with
Well, they
Larry
do that with the morning
Robin.
Show. Yeah. They let them know they're real, but I'm not sure that Micah and Joe are real. I think they're just holograms. I'll look into this.
Maybe.
I'll get back to you. Alexander Zalbin's here. He's the managing editor of Decider.com, a great website if you like your show business news, your entertainment news, your TV news. What about this? The trailer has come out for the new episode, the new season, I'm sorry, of Better Call Saul. What do we know about this, Alexander? Uh-oh, hold on.
Thing in particular for Breaking Bad fans,
yes.
I think. You know, they've been waiting for the show to weave back in with the original show, which it takes place before it. And we're finally seeing some touches there. You're going to see Lydia is going to show up. Also, the cousins are going to show up on the show, not to spoil anything. And, of course, he's going to continue his slow march onto eventually becoming Saul Goodman instead of Jimmy McGill.
Did you? I didn't get you for the first couple seconds. I didn't have your mic on, but did you mention that looks like Bryan Cranston is going to be an element in this or not?
Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul are not necessarily going to show up, but we are going to see a couple of other Breaking Bad folks showing up on the season. Gus Fring has already been there. He was on the entire last season. But we're going to see Lydia, if you remember her from the final season of Breaking Bad, she's going to show up. And also the cousins, the two twins who are terrifying from Breaking Bad are going to show up. Also, Vince Gilligan, who's the creator of the show, has teased there's going to be some more things. There's a possibility that Dean Norris's Hank might show up before the end of the season, but we'll have to wait and see.
So the big complaint from some, not from me, but from some about Better Call Saul is that Bob Odenkirk's character is still Jimmy McGill, and he hasn't become Saul yet. Do we know yet if he becomes Saul or not? I know for people who don't watch the show, they won't understand that, and that's fine. But talk about that. Is that going to happen anytime soon?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know actually how many seasons they've planned it for. Before the show ends, it's going to be like Gotham with him eventually, you know, at the last moment putting on the Batman costume.
Yeah.
But by the time the show ends, we are going to see it in some way weave back into Breaking Bad. My weird hope, I actually disagree with those people a little bit. My weird hope is that we never see any of the Breaking Bad stuff.
Yeah.
That we see it kind of get up to there and then skip ahead and see what happened afterwards throughout the seasons. Yeah.
Well, in the very...
Because that show is so good.
Was it the first episode of the first season? We see him kind of living a sad, lonely existence in a mall. He's managing a store in a shopping center. And we don't really know much about how that ended up. So that's very, the scenario you just presented, that could very well be the last show or the last season, couldn't it?
Yeah, we've seen teases of that, usually at the beginning and the end of every season, these black and white sequences of very sadly working at a Cinnabon. I was actually at a panel with some of the writers and creators of Better Call Saul a few weeks ago that AMC was holding, and they talked about how they talk for hours about what happens to Saul Goodman after Breaking Bad, and then all of that gets distilled down to about a minute per season. But they know where it's going. They know how his story ends, even if we only get to see little bits of it here and there.
If only the creators of Lost had been that specific, huh? Wouldn't that have been nice? What about Doctor Who news? There's some Doctor Who news.
Well, I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. I don't know if you guys watch the show or like the show. If you've never watched it before, though, there's some pretty good news because it's headed for a big, bold reinvention coming this fall. For the first time, the title character, the Doctor, is going to be played by a woman. If you don't know about the show, it's kind of like James Bond, where new actors come in every once in a while and take over the role. But in this case, it's a time-traveling, several-thousand-year-old alien who travels through time and space. So Jodie Whittaker, who you might recognize from the British Broadchurch, is going to be taking over the title role. There's new cast members who are going to be traveling along with her. There's a guy named Chris Chibnall, who previously wrote on Doctor Who and created Broadchurch, who's going to be taking over the show. So it should be big, bold, and new. And I will tell you, just from watching fans on my Twitter timeline, people are already sobbing excited about this new take on the character.
Anytime they talk about updating James Bond and they say, maybe we'll have an African-American guy play James Bond, fans of the series go nuts and go, oh, no, it can't be. It's got to be a white guy. Is it similar with Doctor Who when they announced it would be a woman finally playing Doctor Who? Did fans get up in arms or not?
You know, it's funny, actually. The Doctor Who fan base is remarkably inclusive because they've already had a number of different people of color on the show. They've had different sexualities on the show. So you would have expected that, but fan outcry was remarkably positive. And I think it helped that you have 11 or 12 actors, depending on how you count it, before Jodie Whittaker, who came in, who uniformly came out and said, this is great, we love it, she's wonderful, yay, this is going to be fantastic. So I think that put fans' minds at ease. So good on the Doctor Who fan base.
Very, very good news. Sons of Anarchy ended last year, but if you're a fan of that show, you'll love to know that there's a sequel coming. How will the sequel differ from the original?
Probably not much, honestly. The first trailer dropped in advance of the show's panel, which I believe is happening this Sunday at Comic-Con. It does take place after Sons of Anarchy. It is an official sequel. Edward James Olmos is going to be joining the cast, always exciting because he's fantastic. But it's going to start J.D. Pardo as Ezekiel Easy Reyes. He gets out of prison and he joins the new Mayans Motorcycle Club. The title of the show is Mayans MC. So in the best way, if you're a fan of Sons of Anarchy, it seems like it should be more of the same. Violence, motorcycle riding, everything you like.
Excellent. Right before we went on air, Alexander, we got news that Roseanne Barr was involved in some weird comments, some weird tweets again. Do you know anything about this or not yet?
I do. We actually just posted this on Decider, and you can watch the full clip there. It's pretty weird, guys, and I feel like maybe you're trying to get me curse on air.
No, I'm not. I swear. I'm not. I promise.
Yeah, with this and with the Titan story. Mm-hmm. But Roseanne did some sort of interview that was posted on her own YouTube page where she responded to the Valerie Jarrett tweet, and her exact quote, she screams at the camera, "I thought that blank was white."
Oh.
That's her phrase that she comes out, and then she proceeds to elaborate on it the entire time. She's smoking and cursing and yelling, and the producer is laughing off camera. It's an absolutely bizarre tweet and a bizarre video, and if this is the thing that was supposed to alleviate the pressure after a tweet, it does not do it.
You don't think this will right her ship? You don't think so?
No, it's weird. I learned this thing when I was a kid about two wrongs and a right, and I'm forgetting exactly how it turns out, but we'll have to see.
What's that old phrase? When you're already in the hole, stop digging.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So true. So we know that the Connors, in some way, shape, or form, will come back to television without Roseanne. Do we know yet? Has it been determined yet? Has anybody said if they've killed the character off? Will they make any kind of reference to the fact they have to, that she's not part of it and won't be a part of it? Do we know anything yet, Alexander?
So they haven't specifically said it, but they've intimated pretty hard is what's going on. It certainly seems like from the description that they made of the show that probably she is going to die because they talked about they're going through a climactic change of the family. Darlene is now going to be pretty much the lead in the show, taking over the main role in the family, but everybody is going to be involved. There's no way they can get through it without making some sort of reference, and I think they're frankly going to be pretty explicit. But that said, they've just started working on the Connors. We don't know exactly when it's going to go on the air, so they may still be bandying around the best way of handling Roseanne's exit.
You know, it's interesting because, as you all know, in the last episode of Roseanne, the character of Dan Connor died, and their way of bridging it was actually very funny, very amusing. I don't know that it can be that amusing in Roseanne's case. Maybe. I mean, it's possible, but it's a tough one to pull off, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. I think they could go the funny route. They could make fun of Roseanne on the show, particularly because she's not involved anyway, creatively or financially. Or another interesting route that they go is they could treat it seriously. I mean, that might pay too much tribute, frankly, to Roseanne at this point. But dealing with a real death, a real loss of a family is something that the show used to do really well, is the idea of taking a serious subject, treating it seriously, but also treating it in a comedic manner. But whichever way they go, certainly people are going to be watching.
I'm anxious to find out how they pull it off. Alexander, always fun to talk to you. We really appreciate you being here. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks so much, guys.
Absolutely. That's Alexander Zalbin, managing editor of Decider.com, a really fun website. Go to Decider.com. All your TV info is there. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Anna in for on WGN. Oh, listen to that laugh. You know whose laugh that is, everybody? It's Anna Belleval.
It's the Spanish Grover.
When you laugh, you should say, la ha 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 ha. That was the deadliest stare I've ever received in my entire life. Oh, man, I got to check myself for
there's
wounds.
There's nothing I dislike the most, but there's things that I dislike the more than this.
Yeah.
But there's nothing it annoys me more is that to be at a bar and a guy wants to hit on you by trying to speak Spanish.
Oh, you've had that happen many times, have you?
During live shots at bars?
Yeah. Oh, how do you handle that? What's your way of handling that?
I throw my big producer at them.
That's all you can do. Yeah. Sometimes that's all you can
do. Or I give them that look that I just gave you.
I wouldn't want that look and it's like kryptonite. Twice in my life. It is like kryptonite. Mm. It is very much like kryptonite. Earlier, we gave away a 4-pack of Ravinia tickets, and people said, can you do it again?
And we said yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on.
What the people want. We're going to give it to them.
We're givers.
Yep. A pack of 4 lawn tickets to Ravinia takes place on August 2nd. Here's what they're going to do. Tell me if this doesn't sound like a fun night out. They're going to show you Raiders of the Lost Ark on the big screen in color. You get to watch it in color. And then the Chicago Symphony Orchestra will perform the score live as the movie's going on. Dun, 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 dun.
Just like that.
Trumpets,
that's how it sounds.
Trombones, oboes. Are you an oboe fan?
Oh,
you
I
like
know
oboes?
What an oboe
They'll
thing,
be
yeah.
out there.
Peter and the Wolf's Duck was an oboe.
Yeah. Sasha the Duck, I believe. Right?
Maybe.
I think I'm right. And then Dean Ridge, like you say, well, you can't possibly top that. I'm watching Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No.
And
with
I'm
the
hearing
symphony.
The Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Wait, there's more. Dean Richards will be by to lead a discussion before the concert. So pack a picnic or dine in Ravinia's newly renovated dining facility.
Is Ricardo Muti conducting this?
It doesn't say that Ricardo Muti will be there.
Okay, because every time I've tried to go see Ricardo Muti a few years ago, he'd call in sick.
What's wrong with Ricardo Muti?
Oh, a little bit, he had dizzy spells or something.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. And it just so happened that I was like, oh, I'm going to go. Oh.
And then?
I've never seen it.
No, because of that, because of the lack
because
of
Because I want to see Ricardo Muti.
Yeah, he should be out there. He's got, this time of year, he's got the allergy. He's got the hay fever.
It's so bad. My chiropractor was complaining about the allergies and blowing his nose before adjusting.
Well, then you know.
I was a little worried.
That's uncomfortable.
I was like, what if he drips on top, you know? Like, if he's adjusting me, you know, they hug you and crack you.
Yeah, there's
you.
A lot of hugging.
And I'm like, what if...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Don't do that noise anymore. Don't, okay. That's a scary noise. Get tickets at Ravinia.org or win them right now. How? Here's how.
Caller number what?
No. I've written a trivia.
Oh, trivia.
Look, trivia. Ask a trivia question once again.
Do you even know that, like, word processors exist?
Word what?
Because he wrote that out.
Word processor to your mother. That's what I say.
Don't you talk about my mother.
Talking about Shaft. All right, here is the question, everybody. 312-981-7200. If you know this, good luck to everybody. The question reads as follows. Which Saturday Night Live star has a cameo role in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom playing Indiana Jones's friend Earl Weber? Name the Saturday Night Live star who has a cameo role in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom playing his friend, Indiana Jones's friend, Earl Weber. Who could that be? 312-981-7200. Now, the first one, I could see in your eyes, you kind of had an idea, but on this one, you seem lost.
Yeah.
And even if you did know it again, Anna, you're not an eligible receiver. You can't.
I'm not,
because
I'm part
guess.
Of the family.
Yeah, part of the WGN family. Mm-hmm. Proud member of the WGN 13 family.
13 years and counting.
13 years and growing.
3 million kids and growing.
Was that from Flintstones?
Flintstones.
I'm a Flintstones
I'm turning
kid.
Into you and Mike Toomey.
Isn't that
oh
fun?
Oh, my gosh.
That's a badge of honor. Be the first caller at 312-981-7200.
The first caller?
That. Well, who knows
who
the who gets
it?
The right
okay.
answer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
just we sit here in silence and
yeah,
wait?
Yeah, we will wait.
Okay. How's your day?
It's been good so far.
Yeah. It's getting dark out.
Oh, yeah. It's gray out. Mm-hmm. Yep. Weather's bad.
I know. I think
and on a weekend, you would have thought
it would have been nice.
Yeah. Anna, we have a winner. Denise from Carpentersville, congratulations. She knew the answer. Anna, take a guess. I know you don't know the answer, but just take an educated guess. Which Saturday Night Live star showed up in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, only in a very small role? He just did it because he loved the Indiana Jones movies. He played Earl Weber, Indiana Jones's friend from... no, it's not Eddie Murphy. But he was in a movie
Horatio
once.
Sands.
Where he, no. Look at you reeling him off.
Dana Carvey.
Nope. How about Dan Aykroyd? Ah. Dan Aykroyd. Denise from Carpentersville, you and three friends or people that you know.
Acquaintances.
Just three people you'd
people
like
you pick
to know.
Up on your way to Ravinia.
Yeah, whatever. It's up to you.
We're not going to tell you who to take.
No, nope, it's a free country.
But no
it's
one that scares country. Dean Richards.
Right.
So he'll kick
right,
him out.
Right. Dean scares easily, doesn't he?
He does.
You know him.
I sit next to him.
You know, he's the
he
smallest
is my desk things. Husband.
What a lovely term of endearment. Yes. Dean Richards, my desk husband.
Yeah.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. And then, a huge fight on The View yesterday.
And it wasn't when I went and sucked at it 3 years ago?
No. All right. We'll get into that.
I want to forget that. So let's not bring it.
You didn't do badly. You did not do badly. I watched that episode. I thought you did very, very well.
Sure.
I thought you did great.
Right.
We'll take a quick break and then we'll talk
you
about
love
the fight.
Me, that's
we'll play.
Why.
That's why. We'll play you a clip.
I'm hungry now. I'm sleepy. I'm hungry.
Which dwarf aren't you? You're two out of
I'm
seven.
I'm not sneezy yet.
No, not yet. But that's
can we
coming.
Send the 14-year-old now for real? Now I'm hungry.
Yeah. All right. We'll get you
are
something.
Are they streaming?
Do you want? What do you want? Some Tangy Taffy? We'll get you some Tangy Taffy.
No, because I have crowns.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. We'll figure something out. Take a quick break and then more show Bill and Anna on WGN. That's what's coming up in a minute. We'll find out. What Whoopi suffers from, not suffers.
From? Is it an Ishnala read? Is that it? That's why
no,
you say
once
supper?
You told me you were hungry, all I could think about now is supper.
I don't know how I'm going to make it.
Really quick.
I hit a wall after the morning show.
You'll be fine. Okay. We just found out that there is yet one more 4-pack of tickets for Ravinia.
Get out.
Yeah. The giving doesn't stop.
For the
stop.
Star Trek thing?
Indiana Jones. Not Star Trek. Indiana Jones.
Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah, that's the one. With Dean Richards.
With Dean Richards.
With the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Ford.
Yes. I will make this question very, very simple because we want to talk about
the
view.
The oboe is Radisson.
Yeah, that's it. That's the oboe, yeah. All right, so here is the final question. One more 4-pack of Ravinia tickets. Be caller number one with the correct answer at 981-7200. The question reads as follows. Indiana Jones suffers from ophidiophobia. Ophidiophobia. That means he's afraid of what? You know? Oh no, you're wrong.
No?
You're no.
No?
That's not what it
if
is.
If you're watching at home,
Indiana Jones suffers from ophidiophobia because he is afraid of what? If you're the first caller to know that, 312-981-7200, you and three associates get to go to see Ravinia.
Care.
Yeah, we're not, who are we going to judge?
Not
me, not you.
No.
It's not going to happen. All right, so yesterday on The View, now you know I watch The View nearly every day.
I
love
do.
The View.
I do.
And
so
I get
teased a lot.
I'm
sorry I disappointed you when I went and blew it.
Well, you went on 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I watched
Facebook reminds me.
I thought you did a really... It's the three-year anniversary of Anna not getting a part on
it's
The View.
It's like Swery Mary says. It reminds me of my dead relatives.
Why do you think it didn't go well? Because I watched it and I thought it went very, very well.
They swallowed me whole.
Is that what it is? Oh, by the way, David Carter is our winner. If you had David Carter in your office pool as the winner of the Ravinia contest,
that's
you are
it.
Also a winner.
You're going to Ravinia with him.
Maybe.
What
it's
was the answer?
Him. It's up to him. If you have ophidiophobia, this means that you, much like Indiana Jones, are afraid of snakes.
I wasn't far off.
You said spiders.
Yeah.
Very, very close. All right.
So I mimicked it because I'm a mime as well.
A fabulous mime.
Fabulous.
I think you're...
I was a mime from age 8 to age 18.
Were
I took
you?
Mime classes
you
and mimers? Performed as a mime.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent.
That's why I don't shut up now.
Well, make up for lost
but
time.
But at The View, I did.
So it was... They were overpowering you. Is that what you believe?
And I'm not confrontational. And I think... I was warned that I needed to get in their faces and...
But I think it's because those women all knew each other's moves. They knew that when one of them says this...
I also think that Jenny McCarthy and...
And who else?
The two that were fired.
Boy, that's a lot
Jenny
of...
Jenny McCarthy, African-American actress, was really funny.
Yeah. All right. So you
know them.
I don't know who it was.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not sure. I don't remember who. So you think
she
that they...
She played Tracy Morgan's girlfriend,
Sherry
30
Shepherd.
Rock. Sherry Shepherd.
Sherry Shepherd, yeah.
They have been let go, and it's that awful letting go of you're going to be here for 4 more weeks, but everyone knows you've been let go.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to get on the air a lot.
Yeah.
And then none of them were interested in knowing anything about me because I was sent there by somebody who was not from The View.
That's not fair.
And then, you know, you say things, and this is the danger of it. You have a shorter time a short amount of time.
Yeah.
So you can't really explain your point.
Right.
And then you get blasted for one sentence you said, let's go to commercial break. And you're like, well, what I meant was, and that's it. It's gone.
Can I tell you what I would do if I were you, Anna? I'd start my own View. I'd get me and four of my friends. We'd all talk at the same time. And I go, now we've got our own View. We don't need your View.
Right.
That's what I would do.
We've toyed with the idea.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. All right. So yesterday on The View, Whoopi Goldberg, longtime host of The View, got into a little fight with Jeanine Pirro, the judge. We've got the clip. She's not on for long. Listen to how it went. It didn't go well. Listen to this.
What I suffer from is the inability to figure out how to fix this. That's my issue. But one of the things that you talk about a lot, and I'm curious about it, is the deep state. How long has the deep state been there, and who's running it?
Well, I want to answer your question because you gave
you a question.
You had your opening statement, which was how horrible it is that Donald Trump is talking about all of these people.
I'm sorry,
you know
baby, that's what you
horrible?
Said. You said,
Whoopi, you know
you said that
people shouldn't be here end up murdering the children of American citizens.
You know what's horrible?
What's horrible
when the President of the United States whips up people to beat the hell out of people?
No.
Say goodbye.
Let me go.
So Jeanine Pirro was only on for 3.5, almost 4 minutes.
Oh, but no. Oh, okay. She had a segment. Because it sounded like she had kicked her out.
The segment started, they introduced her because she's got this book that she's, you know, she's touting.
Well, I did better than Jeanine Pirro.
You did way better than Jeanine. You did. So they kind of just, there was some small talk and then things got to where you heard very quickly. So here's the question. You're on TV almost every day. When you're the host of a show...
Not Saturday and Sunday.
Not Saturday and Sunday. You got to rest, for heaven's sakes. You're just one person.
It's a day the Lord has made.
What? Yes. So when you're the host of a show, I guess one of the top priorities is to make your guests feel welcome, whether or not you believe in their politics, right? So obviously they clashed on these issues of politics and the state of politics right now in America. But you knew that was coming. If you're her, if you're Whoopi Goldberg, you know that this woman is going to have a very opposing viewpoint. Did she do the right thing in a couple minutes into the interview saying, say goodbye because you're done? Or did she do the wrong thing, do you think? Because that's how it ended. As you heard, they were yelling at each other, and then Whoopi just said, say goodbye, because you're done, and that was the end of the segment. Is that the right way to handle it or the wrong way?
One thing to note, that was the second segment for Judge Pirro. There already been one segment before the one where Whoopi went off.
That was uncomfortable, but nowhere near as uncomfortable. That's David Jennings playing the role of God. So, but David, that first segment was a little uneasy, but nothing like what we heard there at the end.
Oh, it was clearly uneasy.
Yeah.
And the second segment, it was like the first segment, the fuse got lit, and then kaboom. But I watched it last night because I usually record it every day.
Yeah.
I was not surprised at it.
No.
I wouldn't have been. And I also think that Whoopi was probably getting rapped too, and they improvised this. And if Whoopi's getting heated, maybe this was the way to say, "That's it, we gotta go." But she did it in the heat of the moment, probably with not the right choice of words.
You could see though,
because Whoopi's in charge of rapping those segments.
She is right. She serves as kind of the chairperson for that. You could see though in the eyes of the other hosts, because it was very uncomfortable. You had two adults yelling at each other on national television, which I'm okay with, you know, but you could see it in their eyes like, oh, this is not going the way we hoped, you know, and maybe it was fine. Now she, Jeanine Pirro, says that after this took place, that Whoopi was still yelling at her backstage. We don't know if that's the case or not. No one can confirm or deny that.
That would make sense to me, though, because it was such an argument.
Yes.
And they are opposing views.
Yeah. Have you ever had anyone on the show? Now, I know right now you're doing around the town segments.
It's just around town.
Around
the town. You sound like my 80-year-old mother.
I say around the
Around town. The town from the jewels. Anamalalala. Oh, my gosh. How do I say yes?
She can't say it either because I have a hard time saying it.
You couldn't say Wendy earlier.
I couldn't. It's too many letters. All right. Mm. So I don't remember what the question was.
You were saying I do around town now, but have I ever had a guest?
So there's not going to be, with this segment, with around town, you're not going to reach anybody who's going to make you angry, probably. But in the past, you've done segments which have been a little more ready.
But I haven't lost it like that.
No.
But I also was raised as an adult in a newsroom.
Yes.
So we have a way of doing things. No matter what people say now, we're supposed to be not partial. We should be, what's the word in English?
Impartial?
Yeah, neutral, right?
Neutral.
We shouldn't show sides. So as a professional, I've been taught to, you shouldn't show them your stripes. You know, you can be the devil's advocate.
Right.
You can be the opposing view to what they're saying, but you can't throw a fit when you work at a newsroom or in a newscast.
Right.
I think that's what cable TV has damaged us in terms of the 24-hour news, that they've become opinion channels. And then people like us, people think that we're in the WGN morning news meeting trying to favor one side or the other.
But that's not the case at all.
No, it's not. No. We don't have the time, the resources, and that's not how we do news.
Right.
So I wouldn't have lost it that way because I'm not trained that way.
And I love Whoopi. I think she does a great job.
I think she does a fantastic job. But this is not a news show, what they're doing.
Yeah.
So they're allowed to do that.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Thanks, Anna. I agree. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Anna in for Wendy on WGN.
Glad in the middle of the night that whatever came through.
Yeah, it was serious.
It was like, holy. It was like,
scared my dog.
Yeah, it scared. I got in the closet. I went in the hamper. That was how crazy it was.
Well, storms that we saw last night, I mean, a lot of them were severe.
Mm.
And heavy downpours again. So that hamper, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, get back in the hamper.
Yeah, get back.
I should just sleep in the hamper.
Just
what you're saying.
Sleep in the hamper.
Okay.
Make sure that it'll float. You know, that might be helpful. And that's a pretty big hamper you have there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you get yourself
in there?
What
are you saying about me?
WGN Weather. There's moderate, severe, and Rokan's hiding in his hamper.
My owners didn't get me any kind of like a thunder shirt, so I don't know what to do.
Chicagoland's best forecast and the Rokan Show on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Spike. I've been trying to convince Gary Pack, one of the owners of Twin Gardens, you know, that place where you get that incredibly sweet Mee Rice sweet corn, to actually change the name of it. I think it should be called Twin Gardens Mee Rice Sweetest Corn, because isn't that what everybody says the first time they try it? They say, man, this is the sweetest corn I've ever had, so let's call it what it is. Go online to twingardenfarms.com and see where you can pick up a bag of that incredible Twin Gardens Mee Rice Sweetest Corn. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sweetest corn. Yeah.
Do you need your carpets cleaned but don't know who to trust? Executive Green Carpet Cleaning is family-owned and operated, serving the Chicagoland area for over 25 years. We're Green Clean certified, bringing our own purified water and unique residue-free solution, not soap. We provide a level of clean no one else can deliver. And if you're not happy, you don't pay. Call today to get three rooms sparkling for just $139, 708-599-5151, or visit executivegreencarpetcleaning.com.
Does your child love baseball? Enroll them in a White Sox Youth Academy summer camp. They'll learn fundamentals and receive White Sox and Academy gear as well as White Sox game tickets. To sign up, visit BullsSoxAcademy.com or call 630-PLAY-BALL.
With the recent rainy wet weather, PermaSeal is working hard to help homeowners all across Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana, but they need your help. PermaSeal is now hiring all departments, especially sales, customer service, and installation. They're looking for people with a great work ethic, who have ambition, positive attitudes. They want to learn new skills and have a desire to make the world a better and drier place. Does it sound like you? Well, then go to permaseal.net/careers and apply today. No experience is needed. PermaSeal will teach you to become an expert in waterproofing and foundation repair. Their experienced team offers great training, year-round work, tremendous growth opportunities, and a great, fun work environment. If you want to apply, just go to permaseal.net/careers. If you're looking for a career change or for a dry basement, you know who to call. That's PermaSeal at 800-421-SEAL. Again, 800-421-7325, or visit permaseal.net. Anna and I are headed toward the stream for the bonus hour, or you can stay right here and listen to Steve and the Wintrust Business Lunch. Hey, Steve.
Hello, Bill. Hello, Anna. So we've been talking all day. So the Blue Sky had a story recently. You know, the Fulton Market was all about meatpackers back in the day.
Yeah, sure.
It's all high-tech now. So they actually chased the meatpackers and found out what happened to them, where they're working and things like that, which I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Also, there was a survey about how to protect your brand with millennials. And a little bit later on, we'll talk to Jeff Cartwright from the Morning Consult about that. It's really going to be super exciting, and I'm glad that Anna's going to listen.
We are both going to listen. We're going to do the bonus hour, but we will be
listening.
But
I'll have you on this ear.
Yes.
And then on the left one, I'll participate with Bill.
Yep.